Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Kelsey Fitzsimmons,
yeah.
You've been following this case from the beginning, and your messages have made it clear. It's gotten under your skin in a way that most cases don't. I mean, this is a case that's really emotionally triggering, I would say, to a lot of people, and for a lot of reasons. Because I think a lot of people can almost put themselves in this person's position or that person's position, and there's a lot of emotions that get caught up in here. And at the end of the day, there is the law, and there's procedure, and then there's people.
Humanity.
and humanity. And humanity doesn't always work cleanly with all of this over here. Kelsey Fitzsimmons is on trial right now. By the time you watch this, there may be a verdict. It is a bench trial. The question is, and it really just kind of comes down to one thing with a lot of minutiae around it that influences it, is did she aim the weapon and pull the trigger at a fellow officer while she was really experiencing some of the worst absolute moments of her life? Her baby was being taken out of her home at that moment in time. Her job was on the line. Everything was up in the air. I mean, mentally, she was not in a good place whatsoever. That's not an excuse to pull a gun and pull a trigger at somebody, but it's also part of the recipe for what we're actually dealing with here. Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us as always. Let's start with one of the questions from the audience. As Kelsey said in the ambulance, that she kept repeating she was an idiot. This is kind of what I've been saying. It's like it was a mantra almost that she kept telling herself. This is what she was saying on the stand, that she was an idiot for trying to end herself with an unloaded gun. She tried to pull the oxygen mask off because she still wanted to die. Doesn't sound like someone who just tried to shoot at a cop. After hearing that testimony, does that change how you see the whole case? Robin, what are your thoughts?
She's compelling. I mean, she really is. This whole thing is so heart-wrenching. I mean, I got my goosebumps right now, you know, of sadness. I mean, it's really just a sad situation. All I can say is she's compelling. She makes very powerful statements. She's very consistent with what she's saying, the messaging she's putting out. And when you have someone so consistent, that means their memory is very clear on what was going through their head. It's not wavering. It's not deviating. There's no saying this in one moment, saying, in other words, there's a lot of congruency throughout from every second of this entire thing, which makes someone extremely believable, extremely plausible. Again, we already know the perception of the officer. He's not under investigation for a bad shoot. It's just coming down to what was in her head. Granted, we have what he said happened, but understanding what's her in her head for the intent, because I think that's what she's on trial for, really, is what was her intent. And I think her intent, as she's been stating it, is pretty clear.
I do too. I don't think she intended that. I mean, it's not to say that her intent and her recollection are accurate or inaccurate, but the possibility for either of those, I think, exists.
Yeah.
And I think the possibility of either of those also exists for the officer who pulled the trigger in what he believed was self-defense. I think anytime you have a weapon that's pulled out in front of you, and the trigger is, I mean, it's almost irrelevant. I mean, it's more relevant to me if she did aim it and she pulled it and it clicked. But almost, I mean, either way, you got somebody with a weapon and they pull the trigger and they're trying to re-rack it because it didn't go off. there's 0.05 of a second where that the gun can go that way or at her, and you don't know where it's going to go next. And she just knows that the bullet didn't work, and she's trying to do it again. She's not putting it down or dropping it. She's actively engaging with the weapon. I don't know what the training is. I'm not a cop. I've never been a cop. But you're also a human, too, in that moment, and you're wanting to prevent this from going.
Eliminate the threat. That's the training.
More
eliminate
sideways. The threat. It's not a crazy thought to me that the cop's going to shoot her. Now, could things have been done differently? Sure, maybe. But again, you're dealing with two human beings in a life or death situation. And that's the call that was made. Is it the best of the options that were available? Maybe not. But is it one where it was the wrong one? I can't say it was the wrong one, but if you got A, B, and C, and they're all viable options, you're asking a human being to make a split second choice and hope to God it's the right one.
You know, it'd be interesting. Hindsight is always interesting to examine and look at, but I haven't researched this stat, and people typically don't do this when they're in these kind of moments where we're on YouTube, so I won't say it, but where they want to do self harm.
Yeah.
If she had stated that as she's taking that action, that probably would have come out differently as well. Like, stand back. This is what I'm about to do. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because, again, when you are in that position and you see someone try to take a shot and then you see them attempting to reload, the vast majority of the time, the reason they're trying to reload is not because they're trying to do self-harm. They're trying to take you out.
And there also was not the expectation of a weapon. They did not walk into that bedroom expecting – it wasn't, hey, Kelsey, go give us your gun, which is kind of what I had thought was the situation to begin with. It's not. She was there to go get baby clothes. The guns, they believed, were locked up in the basement. They weren't expecting her to pull a weapon out.
Yeah, no one does.
Add that little, and if you think you're going there and you're accompanying your coworker, your friend – to go get the baby stuff that she needed to pack a bag for, and then suddenly she pulls a weapon and pulls the trigger. I don't care what direction it's pointed. You're in a very different situation at that moment. You're with an unhinged individual with a weapon. But again, at the end of the day, what was going on here? And that's the human side of it. By definition of law. And I think that's when we get to the legal end of it, but we're not talking the legal end of it. But the legal end of it, I think she's in the wrong. Does that mean she should go away for 5 years? Does that help anything? No.
Right.
This is someone who – this was a mental health crisis at the end of the day. She can admit herself it was a stupid thing to do.
Yep.
She will stand by for the rest of her life that she didn't aim the gun at him, and I believe she believes she did not. Unfortunately, we're never going to know the true answer to that, and regardless of whether she aimed it or not, the consequence was you might get shot. She knew that. I mean, you pull a weapon out in front of an officer. She's a cop. She knows how deadly that can be. She can't in one sentence be like, I don't know why I'm so surprised I was shot. And in the other big like, I get how it works. I'm a cop. You can't have it both ways.
And here's the other thing too. Granted, regardless of what her intent was, as she's maneuvering that weapon and handling that weapon, that barrel at some point was not pointing at her.
Yes.
And so part of training is this: you only point your weapon at something you intend to shoot, and as soon as that barrel goes to something else, you don't think it's going to intend to shoot you themselves. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of reps, there's a lot of training. Like, I know all local jurisdictions have different requirements for their annual training. In the bureau, we train quarterly. Yeah, like I went to firearms training; I had to get certified 4 times a year to be able to legally carry my firearm. It's a lot of training, think about that. Local law enforcement generally at least twice a year to maintain their firearms proficiency. A lot of them do 4 times a year. This guy, the guy that was in there, was on the force for 20 years. That's a lot of reps of that same verbiology, that same training of, you eliminate the threat, eliminate the threat, eliminate the threat.
You know, a lot of talk is made on this, and rightfully so, of, you know, could they have done this better? Could they have done this differently? Could they have brought a crisis counselor in or a social worker or something to help with the human aspect of this? And I know, like, every department has slightly different policies. Everyone has slightly different resources. Some have someone in that position. Some do not at all because they don't have it. And ultimately, as all of the cases seem to come down to funding, it's like, well, what do they have the resources to do? I'm just going to throw this out there. And I don't know this is kind of more of a broad statement of police departments and such, especially ones that are very well armed, like militarily armed to the point of, like, you know, a war, when they're a relatively small department and maybe don't need tank-like vehicles and other shit that they end up getting. How about we use some of the money to, I don't know, hire mental health counselors and things that deal more in the world of mental health rather than arming ourselves up to such a degree that will never truly be needed against the citizenry that we're supposedly serving and protecting. Maybe spend some of the money there. Maybe, well, we got it because, well, sell it. I don't know. Use some of the money for that rather than larger, bigger guns and weaponry that you're rarely ever going to use, if at all. Maybe spend some money on the mental health end of things, and maybe you don't need such big guns and warlike equipment.
Yeah, and just more fail-safe protocols. You know, yes. You just make it standard. Instead of making it optional or making it subjective about who we're going to send and how we're going to send them, you just make it standard that, hey, we're going to send a mental health professional. We're going to send a counselor, you know, when executing these things. I mean, just update the policies. Make sure they actually are coherent with what the reality on the ground is in these situations where mental health is going to be an issue. Or even any time, because again, you know, we looked up the numbers on this the other day when we were doing this live also was – well, I think it was with Bob Mata that we're talking about, you know, the potential of violence escalates dramatically when you start serving orders to remove children.
Yeah.
That is, you know, and so when something like that is triggered and there's been claims of mental health issues, you would think that we need to update our policies rather than just sending three badged individuals in there to serve the restraining order. That would shift.
And if you're in a mental state and you think that that's a wrong that's being executed upon you at that moment in time, you're not. I mean, most people aren't gonna go, oh yeah, I'm batshit crazy. Come take my kid. Yes. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying she was batshit crazy, but. People are the least times that people are in touch with the reality of their emotions. If the authorities are literally coming in to take your child from you, you might not be in the best state to evaluate where you're at or the others around you. Yeah, I mean, all of it could have been handled differently. But again, we're dealing with what they knew, what they were equipped with, what they were trained to do. And it is easy on the outside to say, well, if they would have done this or done that or known this or known that. I mean, again, she was a 20-some-year-old cop. I mean, there's other cops in this the force that are young, too, that may not have the experience or the training. People are only as good as what they know. Again, it goes back to the fundamentals, I think, of can we just do better as a whole rather than we have to just keep litigating all of the mistakes that are made in every department here. How about we just as a whole go, let's just fix this shit. So we don't end up in these situations to begin with.
One of the viewers, cause I can't say your name, so sorry, Zachowski, put up there, they had social workers available and were approved, thanks Todd, approved to spend money on body cams, but did nothing. So this is kind of what I was talking about. So
I don't know about that being a factual statement. But let's say, in theory, yes.
Right. So in theory, let's say that's exactly right. But how can that get circumvented? Because the guy that got assigned to serve the warrant says, I know her. It's not a big deal. I'll go talk to her. We're good friends.
Yeah.
And there the subjective choice comes in when they shouldn't be having one. Because if something, in other words, you put protocols in place, an SOP, standard operating procedure in place, so that those subjective calls that could become disastrous can't be made. And that's where, you know, regardless of what was available, not available, this is the protocol we're going to follow when X, Y, and Z is triggered so that we don't have a misstep. Even though I know you're great friends with her, you got a great, you know, great rapport, whatever it is, but this is the procedure we will follow because of this X, Y, and Z.
And we got a question there, because that's the other part of the story. I'm curious about her fiance. What's up with him? Does he really have the best interest of the child at heart, or does he want to extract some sort of revenge? I don't know the answer to that. He's not on trial.
Yeah, Bob brought that up the other day. Yeah,
and I don't know the answer to it. But if we're going to honestly look at it and examine it, you could look at the angle, because look, people weaponize this shit all the time,
right?
So they can have control over the kid. But every person who does this, or has to get the authorities involved, or has to get a child taken away from someone who is not mentally stable, is not weaponizing the system. They're doing the best thing for the child. And one side of that equation is going to think the opposite. One side is always going to think, well, they're weaponizing it. They're trying to do this to me. And they're going to have a very different story than the other side. One has been institutionalized recently for very serious mental health problems. The other has not. There is a small child involved, and the number one priority for every single person in the circle should be the well-being of that child. You could look at this scenario and go, he was really thinking of the best interest of that child. The child shouldn't be with that mother. But the child was, for a long period of time. There was plenty of times where he didn't seem to have any problem with this. Why suddenly now? I mean, there's a lot of, and that gets into the domestic angle of all of this.
Yeah,
but just because one person is saying, or trying to get a child removed from the others, doesn't mean that they're there trying to steal the kid or do something nefarious or prevent the child from being there. Yes, it can be weaponized. It's weaponized all the frickin' time. But there are certain modalities in certain situations where, look, somebody's going to be upset here because they're not dealing with reality on reality's terms, and they are a danger to the kid, whether they realize it or not. Do you think Kelsey thought that she was a danger to herself or others before those officers walked into the house, and then suddenly she found herself being quite a danger to herself and others the second that some of the constructs of her life changed around her? I mean, she wasn't in a good place, and that's right. Just the reality of it. She just wasn't in a good place, and this was handled very rough in a way where you stir a pot this way, and you have very volatile chemicals in there, and you stir it too much. Guess what? It's going to explode, kids. Don't shake the bottle. Don't stir it that way. And they went in ready to shake it and stir it, and then they're, well, I wonder why this happened.
And that's what's really curious to me about. Were they going in there thinking that this was a simple giving of a restraining order, which is a whole lot different than you're getting involved with a child custody issue?
Yeah.
Because that is a whole different ball of crazy that's going to potentially go on there, because it's much more emotional. It's much more inflammatory. And there's a lot more agendas going on between not just I thought Bob Mana did a great job the other day of highlighting that it wasn't just about the biological father and Kelsey, but there's other parents involved, the grandparent. I mean, there's a lot of dynamics going on in here, and a lot of potential for inflammatory, horrendous things going on. I mean, things devolve then into things like the Adelson family.
Yeah.
You know, that's why as soon as you start hitting that domestic issue with child custody issues, that should automatically trigger, hey, why don't we leave some guns out of this and actually pull back a little bit more and think about how we're going to engage.
And there might have been a sense of false confidence for the officers going,
that's
she's one of us. You know, she's one of us. We're going to handle this. It's not some crazy domestic situation where we don't know the parties involved. We don't know how volatile they are. We know her. We've been on calls with her. We're good. Like, this will be fine. It's going to be tough.
And she loved being a cop, too.
Yeah. She understands the dynamics, but it's going to be tough on her, but you know, we're gonna handle it because we're friends. I mean, I mean in some ways you think of it, well, this couldn't have gone any, you know, more securely. She had friends doing this. It wasn't just strangers showing up to her house, and it still went completely sideways. There's no right answer to this damn case at all, and it's so wrapped up in emotions. At the end of the day, technically she probably had to be charged for what happened.
Yeah.
But
I think we hit it well, where she needs to be accountable for doing dumb things, but does she deserve to go to jail for it? I don't think so.
Yeah. We'll see what the judge decides, and if that was a good call to ask for a bench trial versus a jury trial. and,
I hope so.
And where all this lands. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue the conversation there. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you get podcasts. You don't miss any of our conversations about this and the many cases we follow for you right here. Robin's book is out. It is new. It's available wherever you get books. It's not all about me. Go check it out and get that book. All right. Until next time. For Robin, for Todd, and myself, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.